This is KWAI Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Tell Automatic Slim, tell Razor Toting Jim, tell Butch and I Toting Nanny, tell Fast Talking Fanny. We gonna pitch a ball down to that Union Hall. We gonna romp and tromp till midnight. We gonna fuss and fight till daylight. We gonna pitch a wing and doodle all night long.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. A wang dang doodle. Yeah, that's what we're going to have today, a wang dang doodle. Coco Taylor, obviously. Anyway, as I told you last week, we were going to be talking about Humane Society and its doings and undoings and not doings. And we're also, a related subject is the cockfighting. And a great many of you, like myself, I can't bring myself to watching a complete film, but the subject today is not whether I like it or dislike it. There seemed to be an uptick or surge and a more overt violence that is occurring and taking place there in this industry. And as I had said to you several weeks ago, I believe, based on what I had been hearing and recovering for info, was that there will be more violence to have. And sure enough, I was alerted here. For the last 2 weeks, there's been something that I've been following specifically about the cockfighting industry. And as I said earlier, you know my stance on it personally. I can't bring myself to even thinking about it. But again, it is not illegal to own fighting cocks or game cocks. And it is, unless you're caught fighting them or with the gaffs or what have you, then very little can be done. So, again, that's that discussion, and you have the Humane Society of the United States and PETA and PITA and whomever, and all you hear is a pitter-patter. They stand from afar and talk about the subject of chicken fights or game cock fighting. But with me looking into this, I'm inclined to believe that there's a great many of people that oppose cockfighting, especially professional, quote, animal right groups. Really not, they don't want to see it go away, because if it goes away, then they can't make video and films and ask you to send money for donations. And I stand behind that opinion, and I state it and I express it often. If you were wanting to fix it, you'd be more aggressive, and you'd take some of the millions of dollars that you have and you'd divert them in the form of gifts to the Honolulu Police Department or your local police department, and to investigate these things, because it takes money to investigate. But it's a better story when you can tell the story that we are against it. And there are people claiming cultural rights, and then there's supposedly corrupt policemen and what have you. And the reality is, it's still the laws of evidence, search and seizure, and the constitutional rights of the individual. So it's not that easy. And so to fix that part of it, you need to rethink. And we're going to discuss a lot more of it. But on the 17th, what I'm reading here is, and I'll share with you, there is a declaration and a petition for TROs, and this is public record, so we're not naming any names or that that really not out there are factual. Having some problems with a kind of a screwy earphones, but anyway. What happened was that in Waianae at Kaukama Road on the 17th, and I'll read you verbatim what transpired there, what is reported to have transpired. And on the, this is a declaration of a petitioner who is two petitioners, Tommy Nelson Sr. and Tommy Nelson Jr., their residents at this Kaukama Road address. And they state that during the past several months, Edward and William Caspino have confronted me and told me that I have to pay them protection money and that I must pay them for every chicken that I own and for each chicken that I sell or that I have trained. They have been making a move to force chicken breeders, trainers, to pay them protection or extortion money so that they do not have any trouble from them. I was told that if I did not pay them, there would be trouble for me. I have refused to pay them any money for anything. On Saturday, November 17th, 2012, while at my residence located at the Kaukama Road, Waianae, with Tommy Sr., and he goes on to name some of the other people that were present, he states that Adam Florence appeared outside the house along with the man who looked like Ronald Tripp, and they began firing bullets into the house where we were all inside. About 8 or 9 bullets were fired into the upstairs of the house, and about 2 bullets were fired into the downstairs of the house. We never gave them permission to fire bullets into our residence. The police were called, and during their investigation, they found several .45 caliber shell casings outside the house. The police are conducting a criminal investigation into the shooting and gives a report. And again, this is public information. You can go down and pull it up if you desire. On or about November 18th, 2012, I heard that there is a gang known as the West Side Boys, of which the Caspinos are the leaders, and are making a move to control all the chicken breeders, sellers, and trainers, and everything else associated with chickens in the leeward side of Oahu. I am concerned for the safety of my family, who resides with me, and the fact that the threats have now become actual by shooting at my home. I am aware of the facts above, and I agree, says Mr. Tommy Nelson Sr. I agree with them, and I have identified Mr. Florence as the guy shooting at my house to the police department. The police has not arrested them yet. I'm informed there will be a possible multiple arrest on this. So that brings on many other discussions, and I know some of you probably in the back of your mind you're tempted to say, that guy Cox is crazy, he's messing with hot lava, whatever the, you know, it should be worried. And I offer this as I always offer it. The people that should be worried are you, because if you stand by and you are not overly concerned about this and overtly concerned, then I'll see you at the crossroads or at the pearly gates or wherever we're headed. But while we're here, we must stand up and take action against this and prohibit the violence. And this violence isn't just targeting breeders. This violence, there is some, the individuals that were involved in earlier shootings now. There's a full story about that that we have gotten information on and detailed description. And I offer this. There were many a people, and where do you stop if you're introducing drugs and you have a power play? There was a Lloyd Nelson, I'll get his name right here in a minute, Lloyd Marshall was arrested and recently sentenced, and there's forfeiture of property relating to cockfighting. And what is happening here, we all know that it's out there. We drive by, we see it, but we don't know the violence. And how is it that, yes, it is a small community. Yes, they say cultural, but I don't care to debate whether it's cultural or not. The fact is, if it's illegal, that's one thing. But if you participate in it and you go to a fight, let's say, you're basically taking not only a risk of being arrested with this climate that's occurring and this environment that is building itself. You're finding when you go as a fighter or as a breeder, you leave that. You're there in a process or participating and partaking in an activity that's not legal. So you can't easily pick up the phone and call the police and say, I'm over here at this property and I've just been robbed, because you'd have to give a full statement. So the people that are going into the parking lots and going into the chicken fights and robbing and physically beating some of the older people or or anyone that they feel that they can strong arm. So you have, it's not the wild, wild west anymore. It's the Kentucky Fried syndrome that I think it's going on. What is happening is that I interviewed one gentleman and he tells me that they sit and they watch the younger guys or the guys that's going to attack you. They watch you. Excuse me. They watch you and they watch how you bet. Now, mind you, you're at a cockfight that's illegal. And so you're limited to who you can call anyway. And what happens in most of these cockfights, you have a security of sort that is hired by the house or by the party that is sponsoring the fight or the promoter. And you pay entry fee, $20 or $40, depending on the fight and who it is and where it is. You pay that. And the house or the promoter actually takes a portion of that money and pay muscles, so to speak, to protect the attendees from any robberies or what have you. And so what is going on now, a lot of that has changed, and they've introduced the bullets and the flying bullets. They've introduced bullets to the game, guns, gunplay to the game, physical attacks, physical assaults on the individuals participating. So this one gentleman tells me that he's at the cockfight, sitting there, and he bets. Well, he's learned not to pull his wad out that he really is betting with, so he limits himself to the amount of money, so he may bet $100 or $200, but he never pull out his big wads, as he describes it. And he, in the crowd, he'll see the younger guys who's going to muscle him or waiting to muscle people. Now, imagine you being a gang member and or you're trying to move in to this, fill this void or just create a new niche for yourself. You insert yourselves and you sit there and you watch and then you beat up on the people. And what is the ramification? What is the punishment? Well, probably very little, because I've already shared with you, they're not going to be reported, because no one in their right mind is going to call the police and say, I was here at the cockfight, or I'm here at the cockfight, and I was assaulted, all of my jewelry, my money, my chickens, and other valuables were taken. You'd have to, in order to do that, you'd have to admit that you were participating and partaking in an illegal act. So some of you listening out there may say, well, good, that's fine and dandy, but the problem is, there's also an element of drugs that are incorporated into this. So when you take all of that, there is no limit. There is no parameters. It's as if it's water flowing downhill. Where are the checks and the balances and diversion? How can you monitor this? You can't, because you're starting off with an activity that is illegal. So I had the opportunity for the last 2 weeks or so. It's longer than that, because if some of you listening earlier can go back to carolcox.com, and we've actually had a chicken fighter, breeder, seller on and interviewed him and posted some of the information and what have you. So we've been interested in this subject for a while. And in there, you'll see some of the problems. With this process, what is going on now, it's big money. And not only will the young gang members stop there, what else, once they get a toehold or foot in the door, what's there to check them? Who is going to report them? So when you drive by, and they say the syndicate, a lot of the people that I've talked to say, well, it's the syndicate. Well, it's not the syndicate. What I'm informed and by some of the people that have gone to jail, a great many of the individuals that are there involved in this activity have been cycled through OCCC or been in prison and shared the same cells with one another. So what is happening? Are we sending the guys there? Is it a club? And so when they return, they put the big dollar sign on their wrist and the tattoo. Is that what the judicial system is generating? So I ask that, and I raise it and speak to that, because the entire system, it's just not cockfighting. It could be anything. You can come over here right now in Chinatown at the Culture Plaza. As I'm talking right now, you can see money openly exchanged in gambling. So what is preventing the aggressive arrest and the investigative process by the HPD? What is preventing that? I can't put my fingers on it, but I would say it probably hinges on the politicians, such as the Peter Carlisle, who at one time was the prosecutor, and the other prosecutors. And if the police officers feel that it's not going to go anywhere and you're not going to get any prosecution, why waste the paper? Why waste the ink? Why waste the time patrolling? Because more than likely you're just going to end up spending valuable time as an officer investigating this. So until from top down, and that's where it's all starting, folks, up top, cockfighting, showing the violence, is all about what the people on top, the prosecutors, the attorney generals, and those. Is there an element of policemen involved taking money? A couple of the folks says, yeah. I say that's probably to be expected, and the system tend to catch them. It may take a long time, and it does not speak to the whole of the police department, because they're not all corrupt. And I can tell you that I know some of them that if they found a corrupt policeman, he might as well pour gasoline on his tail and be leaving town, because a lot of them, or the majority of them, 99% of them are professionals. And they are respectable of the people. They love their job. They're working for a cause. You're always going to have a bad apple. And some of these fighters, breeders, have shared with me specifics on the interactions with some of the policemen. What do we do about this? Well, we become more aggressive. Right now in Waianae, on that coast, the average Joe is worried about the violence and how it is being unchecked. The TROs were taken out against these individuals, Edward Caspino and William Caspino and Ronald Tripp and the Adam Florence. And am I wrong for naming this and saying that? No, I'm not, because I am more afraid of being randomly or shot or worried about. And I'll describe in greater details of this house that was shot up. Now, if you imagine, you'll be able to look at carolcox.com, carolcox.com, and you will see the pictures of the bullet holes where, imagine someone standing on the outside, and you're sitting at your dinner table with your family and in the family room, and all of a sudden, bullets come sailing, flying through the wall, past your head and past your nephews or your grandkids' heads and the bodies and what have you. Imagine that. This isn't Chicago, where they're having the massive killings, or Indiana and those areas in the urban areas. This is now Honolulu. Indiscriminate. To take a gun and shoot it into her house while you know and you see the people there, because you've just apparently spoken to them and asked them questions, and then you start to wail away with bullets. And for right now, the investigative process, but they're still walking the streets. So what message does that send? Is why not receiving an aggressive police effort? Maybe the complicity of it, and how complicated, and the multiple offenders that allegedly committed these acts, maybe that's what's dictating it. But imagine If you go there, you don't have to use your imagination. You'll see where the bullets come through the wall, hit the ceiling, and some of the bullets were extracted, and they were confirmed 45 caliber, as they indicated here. So go there, and you can see that. And what we've done, we've also posted a number of pictures up. You know that when you talk about cockfighting, again, it's not illegal to possess fighting cocks. But if on the website at carolcox.com, you'll see pictures. There's an active pit. And at any given time, I'm informed that at this pit, you could have 1,000 to 1,500 people during a day. And give you some idea, you probably think, well, what's the big deal about this? What's the attraction? Well, if you're paying $20 to $40 to enter, then you have to pay for your car. Then you have to pay an entry fee for the chickens that you fight. And you could, the average fighter, I'm informed, uses 70 to 80 or more chickens a year in during the process. The season here starts around November, Thanksgiving Day, a little earlier, but the major players, Thanksgiving Day, and goes into July. There's the molting season, so when the chickens start to molt, they're not capable of fighting, so you don't really find many people fighting. But there are some, and depending on the climate and what have you, those kinds of things. But imagine now, the people around the pit, if you want to sit closer to the pit, there's an extra charge, a special fee. And so that's some of the money. And if you figure the average, let's just take an, it depends on each derby, or if they're not doing a derby, they're doing a scratch kind of a fight. But if it's a derby, let's say the average entry fee is $4,000. And if you have 50 to 100 people to enter that derby or more, you do the math. Now, that's that pot. That's that attraction. The house tend to pay in the past. Where if you were to get arrested, they'd bail you out. The house would do that, the promoter. And that group would bail you out. But what would happen is that, and here's where the some may argue the if you think cockfighting is bad, and as I've and some of you and mind you, there are others don't think that cockfighting is bad, and the legalization of it is what they seek to do, and. You know, this is a democracy, and we either vote on it and decide, and as the law fits, then it's applied or not applied. But there is a little more darker side. I guess this is probably where one would probably go, hee-hee, this is where some reprieve on the part of the fowl. We've talked about the fee. And what the house has and the many could be hundreds of thousands of dollars in any given derby for the entry. But there's a more sinister and darker side to this process with cockfighting. You see, as some of them are approached, and they don't have to be approached, they can volunteer. Some of the fighters can take, and this is described to me firsthand by several of the fighters, breeders, and promoters. What would happen is that, let's say A and B are going to fight chickens. A obviously has a record of winning. So A and B get together, and without the knowledge of anybody of the house, this is just one aspect of it, A tells B, I'm going to throw the fight, meaning my chickens have been winning for the last four or five, and they know me as good fighting cocks. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to throw the fight, and what I'll do is that I will take dull knives and affix them, or we'll call them the knives or the, you know, gaffs, depending on who you are and which. So you take these gaffs and you A, affix as normal to his choice chickens. You don't pick and choose. You sacrifice. You wanted everything to look normal. You put dull knives on your chicken. You introduce them to the ring and they fight. While your chicken is, or your cock is thrusting and fighting, he's doing no damage. While the B's chicken is actually getting the better part, so to speak, of this other fowl. And so A loses the fight. But A does not lose the pot, because A is going to get back his money for the chicken. A is going to get back his entry fee. And A is going to get a percentage of the large sum, and it could be unlimited amount of, depending on who wants to bet. So that's one way it has been described and demonstrated to show. And the knives, they appear to be sharpened, but they're not. Another one they describe, this activity, you take epinephrine or some stimulant and you inject your bird. A injects his bird and introduces it to the ring. But now this time he has the real sharp knives or gaffs affixed. But when A introduces his bird to compete with B, B then wins, because A's bird, the stimulant, acts on the heart and causes the heart to accelerate in its beating, and in turn breaks and bursts the vessels in the blood vessels in the eye. The fowl looks normal, but is not able to fight. Can't find his opponent. You and I would never know that. Now, I know about now you're probably going, well, how could you listen to this? And I don't want to hear it. But in order to understand something and manage it properly and come up with good solutions to this, and this is why I'm doing this, because there needs to be something done, especially to abate the violence, number one. But to demonstrate why is it should be, whatever the solution is, we should arrive at some point soon. Because when everything is allowed to just go with the flow and fester, you'll get more houses shot up. You'll get more killings. You'll get more violence. And that violence knows no boundaries. Absolutely no boundaries. If you're successful in robbing chicken fighters and you're not going to jail and you're taking over and you're muscling, then what's to stop you from organizing and then picking off tourists or regular citizens? So that, again, with the stimulant. So speaking, you want to talk about the trickery, and I offer this so that you'll understand why we need to arrive at the game breeders are just as bothered and worried as you and I are about chicken fights, because when you get your house shot up, that changes the subject. There's a bigger issue. Your family indiscriminately being shot at or shot. So to drive this point home further, what is going on and the motivation behind the scene that we rarely get to know, and I'm so thankful that the breeders, the fighters, the promoters have taken the time to share with me. And I know if you figure out why this all transpired, then you let me know, because at this point I'm really not concerned about why they're doing it. The fact is, in order to arrive at the crossroads with a solution, we must understand all aspects of it. And we'll talk about the downsides of being ignorant about something and then you're trying to manage it. And I'll demonstrate to you with the Humane Society of the United States, the Hawaiian Humane Society, and anyone else that claim to be out there fighting the fight and protecting the animals. And we'll get to that. But another way that you throw a fight. Now, mind you, A and B may agree, or the house may choose to throw the fight, or you can bring in three cocks that look alike from the same brood. Introduce them, the fighter or the ringmaster or the promoter or whoever it is handling that. Well, your chicken would lose, and by theory, you should be out of the derby. But they insert a similar chicken, and nobody knows because it's all control. So that's another way. A couple other ways. You take a cockfighter, takes a large rubber band, and take this rubber band and place it over the wings of his fighting cock. And he hides it and masks it by putting the feathers over it. Your fowl still has the knives sharpened, nothing modified there. Everything is normal. And you take your fighting cock and you introduce it to the ring, and you begin to fight. Well, your cock can't jump because he's restricted. It'll give the appearance that he's jumping, but the reality is he's not. So your A's fowl loses. B wins, but A and B and the house, whoever's involved in the throwing of the fight, then wins. They win the side pot, which could be, depending on how many people, betting 10, 20, 30,000 each. So you can see the incentive. So now some of you are probably chuckling and saying, good for the chicken, and it's good that some of them are getting screwed. Well, I'm just sharing with you without any opinion in this, is to enlighten you and some of the fighters and breeders. And I'll ask me, and I thought maybe they were kidding. And I began to tell one of them, I had been informed that the way of throwing a fight, routinely a person would release the fighting cock slow, and that would allow the opponent. And they chuckle and say, that's so far from the truth. It might happen, but then those are the dumb cockfighters, because you don't want to be sitting there with a cock in hand, holding it, a fighting cock, and releasing it late, because the one that the challenger will end up cutting you possibly. So I had to back down off of that and take it with, swallow my pride. I know that it's factual, but it's also doesn't stand up to these other more vivid, more clear examples, how one would throw and what the game fowls are put through. So the other end is, and mind you, this, when I heard this being told to me, I felt little, I had to tense up there. And that is, you actually, A and B decides to throw the fight. Or someone decides and agrees to throw the fight. So you take your game cock and you break its leg. And you fix your knives as routinely. They're sharpened. But the fowl then is introduced to the ring, to his challenger, while appearing to be thrusting, it's ineffective. So B's game cock wins. Again, yet another example to what extreme measures one would go to. Or you would fracture the leg or sprain the leg of a gamecock because they rely on the thrust of their, and trying to thrust the spurs. So, again, that's, I know this isn't something you would enjoy sitting and listening to on a Sunday morning and drinking your coffee, and if some of you are probably wincing now and going, what in the, this guy Cox is going off of his rockers. But in reality, I believe that this is a subject that needs to be talked about. And when you have willing and able-bodied people to share with you that know the industry and not afraid to tell you, because when they would be the canaries in the cave, I would say, when that community tell you that there is a problem, we can't allow it to just blow over and then leave it to the humane societies and the PETAs and all of those to fix the problem. Because I'll tell you what, the average person that I've seen with PETA wouldn't be seen crossing the street at Nanakuli. It just wouldn't go there. You know, there's a granola, oatmeal packing, Brookstock shoes, and, you know, and the world is beautiful and we're going to save it. But they don't want to deal with that element. So it's never going to happen. The word is never going to get out. I shouldn't say never, but I'm just being a realist. It's taken a long time. And it's not that the people involved in this are savages. It's just that they understand, and when you try to manage it from afar by making videos and then turn around and sending it to citizens like yourselves out there who are listening, oh, the gamecock industry is cruel and blah, 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 and so send money. And then next year you get the same thing. And the next year, and then how long have we been at this game? So when the actual people involved were speaking out, and I don't believe that it's just solely because they, one gentleman said he'd been fighting 45 years. And he's seeing a substantial change. When he started, it wasn't a cultural thing. He said he grew into it. But many of them will tell you it's cultural. No, you grow into it, and some grow out of it. So it is really an interesting, and yes, I was completely flabbergasted and seeing the process, sitting there thinking, Mr. Nelson, standing there and seeing the level of the bullet and where it come, it would have hit him right in the chest or in the head, depending on where he was standing at the time, and the wives and kids and the son. So if you can imagine that, and we're going to, as soon as the arrest warrants come out, and we're going to post those at carolcox.com, we see that on some of the individuals named in here are offering assault weapons for sale. Now, the state law says 10 rounds magazine for pistols or handguns. And here's an individual selling 30-round clips. Now, don't get excited. That's not to mean that it's illegal. But again, I'm concerned that an individual that is named and allegedly firing into a home, having access to weapons such as this, and offering them for sale, I'm concerned. There needs to be an immediate and aggressive move afoot to go in and get a handle on this uptick or this surge or this violence. Now, is it because it's in Waianae, the system is not going to get overly excited because it's local on local crime? I hope that it's not, but historically, in many regions throughout the United States, if it's black on black crime, there's a slow move by police departments or the prosecutors or others. It's a fact of life. I'm hoping that it is not, we can't attribute the move, and that it's the complexity of the case that we don't see that's dictating why there's not an aggressive effort. And why is it the legislators and the city council not addressing this? And we'll talk about that, because it appears that when it comes to animals and the management and their well-being, all of that has been relinquished to the Humane Society. And so recently there was Bill 57, and it's a little off subject, but again relevant. And that Bill 57 introduced by Tom Berg, Stanley Chang, and the rest of those, whatever you call it, they call themselves council members, but I believe, I'm beginning to believe that they're the syndicate, because they don't do anything for good for people. It's always good for the system and whatever the system wants, which we never know. But it seems when, in this instance, with Bill 57 relating to animals and the welfare of animals, they all unanimously voted against it. Didn't entertain anything. They were already predisposed. I called their office to inform them. And we, again, I'm jumping around here, but in the next hour we'll talk about all these things. But they were predisposed to vote against this. It wasn't a perfect bill. You've heard me state that. There were some mechanics and that some things need to be fixed. But to step back and hand it all to the Humane Society and listen to their testimony and the misrepresentations made by some of the people that went in to testify, the big guns. So, again, I'm not shocked that we can have people coming forward, the breeders, the fighters, who are now concerned because it's a matter of life and death now. This element of violence is going unchecked. Yes, in the old days, they say that if you try to screw someone over in the fight, you might end up with a bloody nose and a stern demand that you come clean and you give them their money back, you cheating them if you stole the chickens or what have you. It was a self-policing and no drive-by shooting in the house randomly and wanting just to kill someone or to send a message. It wasn't done that way. Now, again, you probably can call up and share with me more particulars and specifics, and I don't want to be generalizing it, but the current mindset is that there's a big worry there. I mean, extremely big. And they say that there's many of them out there that the old security people that were involved go back and let the younger people know that they're not going to tolerate it, and they're going to stand up and name them and inform the authorities. But the problem is the authorities have to be the ones to be prepared to go and prosecute. And, you know, if we get that, then I think that community would be better served, because where there's crime and people willing to shoot, that's the greatest indicator that something's very, very bad. Something's completely out of control. So, again, if you got any questions or comments and want to share, please feel free to give me a call, 524-1080, and we're coming down to the last few minutes in this hour. But, in the next hour, we'll be talking, and if you are interested, I'd like to hear from some of you on this and just get a feel. The other side is talking. I'd like to hear from some of you. Again, this whole effort, how we are approaching cockfighting in the industry, should it be legalized? What should be done to legalize it, or should it be completely illegal completely, that even the owning of cocks and what have you. Something needs to be done, because one goes with the other, hand in glove, so to speak. If you have an activity of this nature, such as cockfighting, and it goes unchecked and the police are not able to manage it and enforce it or regulate it, you're going to have the elements arriving and robbing and ripping people off and resulting in violence. You're going to have the element of drugs, and you're going to have the elements of many other things. So what do we do? So that is the real burning question now. And I hope that just in some of these, so that you'll know, up until that moment that cock is introduced, that fighting cock is introduced to the ring, that animal gets the finest treatment, the finest corn, the finest grain, the medication. It's amazing. It's a story that tells. But then comes the other side of that, that some say or have concluded that it's cruel and inhumane. And I have video, and I can't begin to watch a single bit of it. I can't bring myself to that. But I'm happy that those that are in this industry or this business or this gaming are willing to talk. They're looking for answers. And anyway, that's the real background. And again, we're going to talk about this next hour with the Humane Society. They're not, unless they call in. As a practice, they tend not to call or participate or respond to these questions timely or what have you. They operate. I've watched them. They like to have the TV stations have them on announcing what cute little animals they have that's going to have a chocolate bow tie affair or what have you. But getting down to the real issues, they're very evasive, won't participate. And there's another thing here that I want you to focus on this if you want to participate and or care to listen. We only have an agreement with the Hawaiian Humane Society, or the Hawaii Humane Society, whatever you want to call them. My question is, how is this Humane Society of these United States get involved in these affairs directly in the front table? We don't have a contractual agreement that I know of with the Humane Society of the United States. But they seem to be a part of this process. And some of the things that they do, if there's an animal that comes up missing or something happens or, you know, a dog is attacked or abused or an animal, immediately they go, oh, we're going to throw out $2,500 as a reward. That's to look like they're doing something. You want to catch a crook, give me one of your $1 million and let's give it to the police department and they'll go and investigate it if you were serious about it. Oh, they go out there and have it overnight. We have some of the finest investigators in this country right here in the Honolulu Police Department. Put up $1 million. Put up $2 million. But no, the benefit is to just go ahead and present like you care, like you're doing something. And then the other thing is, and we'll talk about it, but when they seize chickens, for example, they seize them supposedly to relieve them of the cruel and unusual punishment or the of these animals and inhumane treatment. And a great many of occasions, they euthanize them themselves. So what benefit did the chicken have? So we'll be back in the next hour, and I'll talk to you later.
I said it wasn't long ago I was doing real good. Don't you know my baby was acting like a sweet girl should? But she found another. Well, Lord, and I got the news. Now I'm here suffering from a touch of the blues. My friends say I look bad, and I guess they're right. I can't eat or sleep, no, baby. I tossed and turned. My eyes are all red. Well, Lord, and I'm dragging my shoes. But I'm not really worried, no, baby. It's just a touch of blue.
I said it's a church of the blue.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu. It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Okay, good morning and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. We were talking about gunplay, violence, cockfight, the entire process and how one would throw fights. And what I want to make clear is that while I shared with you fighters and breeders that may on their own initiate actions to throw the fight, some of these new elements that are wanting to control or get a foothold in the door and control this activity of cockfighting, they're asking some of the promoters to throw fights, going as far as asking there on the Hakima Road, for example, to ask them to not hold derbies. And I understand one actual derby was canceled that was for today, and they'll have a scratch. So this is very prevalent. It's a reality. People are afraid. People are just, and rightfully so, when young folks with guns walking around and blasting up the place and shooting one another and shooting at houses. And, you know, if there was an incident where a dog was shot, I don't know if it was a message, but these kinds of open and display of violence is not to be tolerated at any level, and we should be more aggressive from all levels of government. And it can get worse, and it will get worse if we don't be honest with ourselves and be more aggressive. And I don't care what science or how logical you want to sit back and approach this. Trouble is brewing in paradise. And it's not the kind of trouble that you think it is. It's when you introduce gunplay and the indiscriminate shooting and shooting at a house, and you see the people sitting, it would be like shooting into a fishbowl, ducks in a bowl. You know they're there. You see the lights on. You've just spoken to them, and you go blasting away. And you're still walking the streets. So we need to do something about all of this, and I'm not advocating for cockfighting. I'm just saying to you, there's a thing called spillover. And there's some of these entities that were involved were actually robbing people at the area on going to Yokohama. So let's just know what we're doing and demand more. And the people in Waianae deserves better and more protection. Good morning, caller. You have a comment, a question.
Hello, Mr. Cox.
Yes.
I got a comment around the cockfighting that you're talking about.
Okay.
You asked some questions like, how can this happen, or why will the violence get worse, or how come it's going to progress? Well, I listened to a show on Coast to Coast AM Saturday night about Pearl Harbor. Pearl Harbor was such a setup. The man said that Dietrich, Pearl Harbor, and conspiracy theory, I guess, they had a whole bunch of boats anchored offshore parallel to each other, one looking like an aircraft carrier, and there was a whole setup. One of the comments was they left the men tapping SOS and not rescuing them because they were younger soldiers, younger disposable soldiers, and they didn't dig them out or anything like that. They said when they rounded up all the Japanese, they took some breadbasket valley in California away from them. So there's such corruption and such trickery at the high levels that they might let these things go on a little bit to divert attention. But if anybody else listened to the Coast to Coast show about what really happened, how they declared Franklin Delano Roosevelt a war criminal, and all the Chinese people and the drug smuggling. I mean, you have to listen to the whole show. Dietrich did. He was a document destroyer in San Francisco. He had so much to say. But I just want to leave it like this. There's a better lesson above from the government on down. Why do you think the people are getting like that? It's because their leadership's something like that, sir.
Right. Okay.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you, brother. Well, a little, for some reason we had some loud volume going on there. But anyway, and these are concerns that are expressed. I've heard similar while working out there in Waianae. I actually heard similar arguments, and that whether it's cockfighting, drugs, or whatever it would be, the lack of an aggressive enforcement effort, not to say that the police is crooked, but the lack of enforcement and regulatory effort by the higher-ups, not the beat officer, not the lieutenant who manages the beat officer or the squad, but the priorities that are given and assigned this matter by the governor, the legislators. You need to fund and equip people and be aggressive and support if you want to contain it and impede it and stop it and abate it or what have you. That is again, all of those elements. And when I see, this is the danger why I didn't really get involved with the real issues to the extent that many of you, because I was more concerned that when you see you taking all of your eggs and put them in one basket, so to speak, and all of that, and the manipulation and the aggressive behavior, you will see that this was a complete failure. We're going to get the train, but there are so many other things that are, that make up this community fabric that are left along the way or go unattended or no emphasis placed on them. You know, the case in point is that if you Google some of the issues on cockfighting and what you'll see, this is how we deal with this cockfighting. I'm reading something where they find chickens or gamecocks in a bag, and then the result of cockfight. That's newsworthy. That triggers the debate. Once again, cruel and inhumane treatment to the animals. And that's how we are dealing with this issue. You know how commonplace it is to find a gamecock dumped on any given day, anywhere. If the average gamecock fighter fights 70 to 80 gamecocks a season, you're going to find gamecocks discarded and their carcasses discarded. And I put up a poster or picture that I took on Park Care Road over there, and you'll see there's a what they call a gray type of gamecock. Then it's laying right on the side of the road, and I'll warn you, the pictures are not pleasant. But it is something suggested. I took the picture. It wasn't staged. And I took the picture because one of the fighters said, that picture, and Breeder said, that picture is the precursor, tells the whole story. It's going to get worse. And even though it's distasteful, you might find it offensive. But I posted it up there anyway, and those of you that dare go and look at carolcox.com and look at the photos, help yourself. Those of you that are weak-kneed and don't want to see it and don't want to incorporate in that your visual arsenal, you just want to emotionally support the fight against cockfighting, then you'll be ill-advised or poorly informed. I think you need to look at the whole thing and like the breeders and the fighters and the promoters have said, it's not what it used to be. And if this violence is allowed, they want no part of it and they want out, because nobody like to wake up to bullets flying through their walls or being killed or shot or beaten up and robbed. But anyway, there's that kind of action that, voila, the Humane Society of the United States is shocked and upset about the finding of several gamecocks in a bag along the road in Park Hill. Newsworthy, right? This is what's going on with these issues. The November 27th, I wrote a testimony in support of Bill 57 that was introduced by Tom Byrd, Councilman Tom Byrd. And it was about the preventing of the killing, euthanization of animals that were received or recovered by the Humane Society or whatever. And I understand that this bill was... again, there is no perfect, you cannot write a perfect bill. I don't care who you are. Case in point, look at those people that hang around the legislative process or that are legislators and ask them, can you write a perfect bill? You can't. But you can start and then you can fix it, but you need all parties involved to give contribution and arrive and be sincere about it. So you have the legislators, and in this case, it would be the city council. And then you would have the community and the activists and what have you. But this bill was opposed by the Humane Society, and some of the opposition, the statements, I'm not going to quote, but was that it would cost too much money. It would do this and it would do that, and it would create a problem. The reality is that in this case, there's a Dr. Arco, and Dr. Arco he's what I will describe. This is a strategy of the Humane Society. When there is an issue and they get their little knuckles in the crack, this is how they do it. They call out the big guns. And in this case would be Dr. Arco, veterinarian. I guess he relates that he was the president or vice president, some status that he had as the for the Hawaiian Veterinary Medical Association. And his representations were that the entire body, the members of that organization, opposed that bill. Now, I wrote Dr. Arco a letter and asking him questions, called him several times, and he never responded. But he was aggressive enough to go to the city council and make those representations. And I'm here to tell you that I did some research and looked at their minutes. The Hawaii Veterinary Medical Association found out that in their minutes, nowhere could I find that the full body had ever represented or concluded, agreed that they were opposed to Bill 57. But these are the steps that they will take, they being the Humane Society. And then there are others, Poi Dogs and Popoke, who opposed it. The OSPCA opposed it. And I only ask the question is this. You have a contract for $2 million from the city, and you're supposed to work for animal control. Why is it that on any given day we find the Humane Society circling the wagons with the people like Arco's, who, by the way, one of my complaints in this to Arco was to ask him, you only mentioned that you were in your testimony to the city council, the original letter was that you were the president or vice president, whatever the term was you were, your position, of the Hawaii Veterinary Medical Association. And so I inquired to ask, well, why didn't you mention that you were also a board member of the Hawaiian Humane Society? You see, and then why didn't you also tell the city council that you're part of the system, that the spay-neuter program that you profit financially from as one of those participants in that project that the Hawaiian Humane Society administer on behalf of the city and county of Honolulu? So this is why we have bad laws, we have sad laws, and we have no laws, but we have the participation. Again, I'm still stuck on stupid with this one. When the Hawaiian Humane Society and the Humane Society of the United States and others convene at the Bunny Payne property and wearing fake badges and sitting behind closed doors and orchestrating to build evidence leading to lawsuits that were, I don't know the full status of those. But again, how is it that we as a city people, a body, can continue to invest our trust, hand over our monies, and whenever the community speaks up, or others in the community that are animal advocates and caring for the animals, how is it that they're always on the other side of the fence, no matter what the issue is, when it comes to the Humane Society? You would have to scratch your head and ask, are these people that screwed up that the Humane Society could never work with them? No. They work with them, but there is a stranglehold, this $2 point some million at minimum annually that is there. So you're not going to get any invitation or allowance for others because they see it as a threat, they being the Hawaiian Humane Society, in my opinion. They see it as a threat, and they don't want to do anything. So when we have issues of cockfight, they say, well, we're investigating it. How are you investigating it? Why isn't the media not take them to task with these issues? But instead, oh, we have Fido here and Coleco, and Fido and Coleco is looking for a home. I'm not objecting to that because I struggle too trying to find homes for abandoned animals and what have you, love animals. But there's a different situation going on. And so when you have citizens, and that's who the Humane Society is serving now. Don't get me wrong. They may call themselves a group or identify themselves with an organization. But let's go back to the basic. They are citizens, taxpayers. Their tax dollars, forget the difference of opinion or what they think should be done about animals. They're taxpayers. And these are the things that they make a request for. So immediately, you get guys like Breen Horimoto who smiles, and apparently he radiates some kind of love sickness that it seemed to be people are infatuated with him. And this guy, Stanley Chang, who can't find anything better than to go out, speaking of butts, to talk about stopping people from smoking cigarettes on the beach. But when it comes to euthanizing hundreds, if not thousands, of animals, he's already predisposed in the back room saying, I'm not going to vote against the Humane Society's wishes. It's insanity. And so year after year, I wasn't disappointed that Nestor Garcia would vote for it. I mean, you know, God only knows. He probably somehow, I don't know, and you can call me and curse me out if you'd like to. But based on his activities in the past, and he's willing to take money from anything and everything, who knows? You know, I wouldn't doubt it if he had some interest in that, too. If maybe he's a secretary of ashes or something. I don't know. But when you get a full body, now, mind you, I know some of you probably say, well, that Tom Berg, that's different. This was an attempt to reduce the number of animals that are burned, stuck, euthanized, killed because they don't have adequate homes or the process isn't sufficient and aggressive enough and the cost is prohibitive to some people to prevent and want to adopt an animal. The cost is prohibitive. And give you an example. Now, I don't like personally seeing cats in the wild for many reasons. They're the environmental concerns that we discuss. But also, if you've seen a colony that has been affected by upper respiratory infection, and while it's an innocent activity and they're sick, and the poor kittens or the animals, their eyes pop out due to the illness from the upper respiratory or associated with it. And they're blind, or they're sore, or what have you, or they're starving. Now, I know some of you probably say, well, those people put them there. No, the people that put them there, we will never know because there's so many explanations and examples. If it's military leaving, a divorced family, the cat just strays off and finds himself, gets scared, or all kinds of reasons that they're there. The fact is that they're there. So you take me as an example. I want to go out, and at one time it cost $5 to take the cat to the Humane Society. And I've repeated this over and over, but it's important to share this with you to show you how irresponsible the city council is and how ineffective and non-caring they are about the so-called the animal issues here in this city and county of Honolulu. So what happens? I go out and I trap a cat, And if I'm in Wahiwa and I find one and I want to take it, and there may be five of them, six of them. And through a friend, I work through that and I capture those cats. I got to spend time to trap them. If I put a deposit down on the trap from the Humane Society, that's another expense. Fortunately, the friends have traps, so I borrow those traps. And the idea is if we don't remove them or spay neuter them and return them, they're going to have more babies. And this is not even a drop in the bucket. This is not even a ripple in the big ocean. This is just me, like many hundreds of people that run out and want to do something. And they're always getting resistance from city council and the Humane Society. The obstacles that exist, and I offer this to, so when you are giving money to the Humane Society, if you desire, if you choose to, look at some of these other organizations. Give them a look also, because there are women out there and men that have taken their hard-earned money to do what the Humane Society is getting a contract to do to animal control. Now, I know there's going to be a debate. Well, we're not funded for the cat population and control, but let me say this. When they solicit money from you, the donors, they don't distinguish what they say they care for animals. So how can you do this? You charge $5 per cat at one time, and then overnight you decide we'll charge $25. So whereas I was able to bring in five cats for $25, and that exponentially, the increase in population, if they weren't removed, that's five cats in one breeding season that could multiply, and then their offspring multiply. And so what that means is that eventually there'll be a logjam at the doorway of the Humane Society if the Humane Society was aggressive enough and active enough in trapping these animals. But they are feral. So are you going to adopt out the feral cats? I don't think so. So raising the fee from $5 to $25 creates a problem. Imagine the person that is doing it for the goodness, and I know some of you probably see someone carrying cat food and they think, and you could be right in some instances that someone is actually just throwing out food irresponsibly and not neutering and what have you. There are some of those cases, let's face it. But there is a greater majority of people that are aggressive in buying traps, trapping, and creating cat friends, for example, has a clinic that they devise and they spay and neuter hundreds of cats. Now, I know you're probably going to say, well, they're all from the wild and they should be killed. I'll invite any of you. I will be happy to trap as many cats as you want, and I'll relinquish them to you, and then I'll ask you, you're going to kill them all? Because if you are, it's going to cost you too. But I don't believe anybody, any human being, has it in their heart to stand there and know that they can just constantly funnel animals into this killing machine, this process. Not the fault of the Humane Society. It's the fault of the city council and our leaders who don't place an importance on. They just hand the money out and go, oh, okay, we've done our part. We've done our part. And then when others who are more on the front line, so to speak, who can't get a word in edgewise with the Humane Society because they bring in their big guns, and when it's all said and done, then they bring in the other big guns, that ride shotgun, the Hawaiian Humane Society, ride shotgun with the Humane Society of the United States, and Poi Dogs and Popoki and OSPCA. The question is, what does OSPCA do with their animals when they get an overabundance that they can't adopt out? Where do they go? What happens when OSPCA, the very people that were opposing this Bill 57, the question I have for them, and if they're listening, please call up. Or if you don't hear today and see it tomorrow, call me in, and I'd like to engage you. But if people are calling you and bringing in feral animals and they are not adoptable, what's happening to them? You don't have a crematory. Are you euthanizing? Or are you delivering them to the Humane Society, a Hawaiian Humane Society, there at King Street area, where they get this beautiful property? I think it's $1 a year or something ridiculous price. And yet, other citizens who are already being taxed, their tax dollars are going to fund this humane control, but they see that it's not controlling anything. And then you see a story on TV, oh, the park and ride has hundreds of animals and all. Yeah, they do. But here's what I would say, just go 50 feet away and you'll see this bark park that was put up. But the cats at the park and ride were there first. Where was the Humane Society? So when it's a cutesy-wootsy, whatever you call it, behavior, we get all bubble-eyed and there's the Humane Society. Let's start taxing them. And let's ask the question, why is it that they're always on the other side of the fence when it comes to citizens reacting and citizens participating? And if you speak out as a citizen, imagine being myself. If I speak out and I'm opposed to the increase of the $25, I get banished. I get harassed. This is the kind of disjointed, crazy, stupid stuff that goes on, that people get $2 million from the city coffers. And when someone says, well, you know, it's not working, it's a problem, and the city council turns to the people that already have the money, and we know it's a problem, and then partner up with that community, with the Humane Society, and vote without hearing any or giving any credence or credit to testimony from others in the community. And mind you, when we say people in the community now, know this, that 95% of the people that feed stray neuter cats, you'd be astounded at the educational background. There are some of retired as lawyers, doctors, veterinarians. So they give you this image that people feeding cats are irresponsible, they're ignorant, they're soft-hearted. But the reality is you even have lawyers that work for different government agencies participating in this, because they know that it is a sad sight to see kittens and other animals just being feral and not being fed, and the government is not trapping them. All they do is just say, give us more money, and they're alien species, and go to the legislators and say, we need another $5 million so they can hire all of these little cuties from the mainland to work under some guy who, oh, it's an alien species. You want to talk about alien species? I consider myself the godfather of alien species and eradication. But I say that it's a game, it's a money game. And again, how ridiculous is it? And why we should focus, and why you, when it comes to, this is Christmas time, and I know a lot of you are going to be giving money out, and why you should think twice, or think, go take that extra step and look at other nonprofit organizations that do jobs such as this, and they're struggling. And I can tell you, they're spending their own money, money that they don't have, but they do it. And look to them and ask yourself this one golden question. This is the big one. So in their arguments, the Humane Society says that we don't have the room to maintain these animals. Well, let me remind you of a land grab that took place up there at the agricultural site in Halava, the quarantine, state quarantine. Recall there was some land and kennels, and that facility was grabbed by the Hawaiian Humane Society? Whatever happened to that? Remember the other land that they have, that they had been promising to do things? Whatever happened to that? But no, once they go around the stupid people to testify, the stupid people sit there and go, well, you know, we agree with them, it would be a problem. No, stupid people, go back and ask them, what do you mean by you are out of space? It's going to cause cramping and congestion and overpopulation at your facility. What happened and why haven't you moved to build a facility or incorporate that facility at Halava into your program where we would have better space? And why not partner up with the nonprofits? But you have to ask yourself, and I'm not sitting here just making stories and troubles. You have to ask yourself that how is it that with all of these problems in the euthanasia, and they said, well, we have a problem with money. It's going to cost maybe $1 million. Really? That's funny. You were just going to give Poi Dogs in Popoke almost $500,000. I'm probably pushing the numbers a little bit, but it's not short. I'm not exaggerating too much. You were going to give them a mobile vehicle with city taxpayer money, at least close to $500,000. And then you didn't have any problem with that. And that same party now is up there testifying with you against the project of others. It's about money, folks. It ain't got very little to do with love and care of an animal, I can tell you. I mean, I've spent many a nights and days and Sundays feeding and trapping and transporting and cats. Because if I call them, I got to trap it, and it's feral, and it's going to get euthanized. And this is a killing machine. You are funding. This organization says, well, the money that we get isn't for spay neuter of cats, and but it's animal control. And then guess what? When it came to the cocks, or the game cocks, or the bantam chickens, the wildfowl, or the crowing roosters, they quickly gave that up, right? Gave it up. Didn't have any problem. So it's about money. When there is, I'll call them the drive-by people. They don't care how they do it as long as they keep their money, the city money, and be the front row people getting the donations from people like you. I'll remind you of a story that took place some while back where I had been working. I had gotten involved with some people that were killing and stealing and buying and accepting dogs for sale and to be cut up and eaten and sold to restaurants and what have you. The Humane Society got wind of my activities, never approached me to say, can we join forces? No. What did they do? They ran to KITV and others and said, we on the lookout for a white van that's buying and selling dogs. And then went to the target that I had purchased dogs from. Now, mind you, I didn't have them butchered. This was one, and I went back to buy the sister of the one, and when I got back, it was butchered, and I couldn't save that one. But so what did they do? I'm going to share with you the tactics. Some of you have heard the story, and some of you may not have heard it. But they tell the media they don't be on the lookout for a white van. But what they didn't tell the media, it was from way back. Nothing to do in my van. Then they contacted the target, and I returned with a 24-pack of beer, Corona, you know, to socialize. And he says, well, I can't do that anymore. There was this Howley girl and this Howley guy came by and said they had, you know, they said that I shouldn't because you are trying to set me up. And blew it. Nothing. It went nowhere. Yet, they tell you they're out here looking to protect animals from cruelty and inhumane treatment. Yet, I know firsthand, they don't reach out across the table. Lady lost her dog, Rex. They took it. Their employees were involved. To this date, they've never come clean with the status of that animal. So I'm appealing to all of you to incorporate this into your decision-making process. Think about what is being done with the Humane Society, the Hawaiian Humane Society. I'm not casting aspersions or stones. I'm just reminding you that if we continue to fund this kind of mindset, the us and them, we're going to see more animals. We're going to see greater cruelty. We're going to see, and yeah, they got the puppy mill. Okay, I'll give you that. But I would tell you they're just lucky because it puppy mills are bad. But you look around you, there are thousands of animals, thousands, that they're euthanizing because they can't incorporate in their work and in their hearts a need to do what's right because they operate from fright that they may lose this $2 million and some more. And this black tie mindset image that they have, you know, balls and what have you, chocolate. I don't know all this crazy, silly stuff that goes on. But each time that I turn on KITV and they're sitting there and they're stroking a little puppy, that's fine. But then let's see the TV stations go beyond and ask the Humane Society, who are these people in the dark of night that are out there feeding and trapping and going to other facilities and nonprofits that have, because your system didn't work, that they were motivated to do their own thing to try and reduce the population and reduce the use of euthanasia methods and killing these animals. Let's see the TV station ask that. I'd love to see a camera flowing and in the evening news showing that this lady in her 50s out at Mokulea in the bushes up in the mountainsides, dark of night, stumbling and fumbling with the little flashlight and 5 or 6 or 10 cats following her, and she's feeding them and then has a trap in hand and she's trapping them and then taking them back and barely can keep her eyes open in the morning because she's there waiting at the veterinarian's facility to have these cats neutered and spayed. And yet we're giving $2.3 million to this big fancy building that tells you we don't have no more room, and if we have to do our job, we're going to need more money. Wait, if you think it's needing more money, then where's your request to ask for the money? Why is it now an explanation or an excuse that you can't do your job? What about the proactive part of this? So it's all one big fancy lie. This whole process of humane treatment of animals, and then they sit by and they're the drive buyers. Oh, citizen called in and reported finding 12 birds, gamecocks, in a bag that were dead. What do you have to say about this, Miss Humane Society of the United States, Gibson? Oh, well, you know, it is. We stand to da-da-da-da-da. Oh, by the way, Miss Gibson, all of that money that you get from donations and your fancy videos showing the horrible scenes of the animals starving and whatever, what percentage of your money that you get, Miss Gibson, and the Humane Society of the United States, do you put back into these efforts to control the population and reduce the euthanization? Oh, you'll have to talk to my main office, but we give a great percentage. Oh, yeah, really. But we here in the state still have the problem. So I'm not mad and I'm not frustrated. It's just that it's difficult to digest this and incorporate it and then come back with a reasonable, rational thought about this when, in fact, you got a city council who simply is eating out of the hand. I believe that when they see people from the Humane Society, the city council get down on their knees and lick their hands because they don't want anything to do with controversy. And Dr. Arco walks in and voila, Jesus has spoken. Jesus of the veterinarian world has spoken. And so therefore, all the others that are involved that are volunteering their time, their money, and their hard-earned money and their love for these animals are wrong. They're wrong. And the Humane Society of the United States and the Hawaiian Humane Society and Paw Dogs and Popoke and OSPCA, they're right. Yet, when you turn on the lights out in the parks, you don't see a Humane Society truck. Once again, you see a little car loaded with cat food and traps, and they're out there putting themselves in danger, in jeopardy. And by the way, there's a claim that they are open 24 hours at the Humane Society. I'll invite any of you to go down there and watch, sit in the parking lot, and you see that there's a big question. Are they really open 24 hours as they claim as part of this contract? Because you see, when their officers have to go out on a call, then that office is closed. And if you are told to come in at 10 o'clock, this recently we had an incident where I was involved. You take the animal down there and you're supposed to come at 10 o'clock at night. We arrive early, a couple of minutes early. We're told, oh, we're going to have to charge you a boarding fee because you came before 10 o'clock. So I only suggest and offer this as a means to give you something as donors and caring people to think and think twice now. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Hello?
Yes.
Hi. Good morning, Mr. Cox.
Good morning.
I can hardly hear you, though, but I just want to call in and thank you for bringing up a lot of things that go on the West Coast, because it seems like that part of the island is very neglected. I lived there for 10 years, and they had this road project that they were supposed to have done another out road.
Mm-hmm.
And this was in the 80s when I lived there. And I noticed it's still not done. So the traffic there is the same. But anyway, bringing up all these things happening down there, I really appreciate it, because I think probably you're the only one that is helping that community.
Well,
so
just
appreciate your work.
Thank you. And just remember, bye-bye, the Carol Cox Show loves you. So we're going to do it, and we're not going to fix it overnight, but I hope that all of you listening out there, it's a sad world when we stand back and look at it. Well, thank you. Anyway, this is getting to be crazy. And I haven't even touched the surface. I could give you example after and worse. And I ask you that there is Joey's Cat Friends. There is Cat Friends. There is all kinds of people out there. And if any of you have any doubt and care, I'd be happy to take you on a tour, and you'd be amazed at the still gonads that some of these people have. They find themselves in the dark of night and then get up and go to work the next morning because they care and they're spending their own money. And yet, your donations, believe it or not, when you donate to the Hawaiian Humane Society, it enables them to come back and talk jive. Enables them to come back and portray themselves and put out little cute flyers and all of that. And the reality is, I've seen it firsthand. if there's care, then they've redefined the term care. It has, there's some technical aspects of caring. We don't have any money, we don't have any space, but yet they should relinquish and give up that space that they have in Halava and give it to the nonprofits that use this and doing their work voluntarily and struggling to sustain themselves. So, again, the cockfighting issue, we will continue to look into this. And, again, I know some of you, the standard question is, well, you know, he got to be careful. He's messing with these gangsters and all. No, let me share with you my philosophy. I am more concerned about apathetic Americans than I am about any gangster. Trust me. There is no sadder sight to see an American, a free citizen, tuck their tail, which they don't have, and then have the guts to turn around and warn others to be careful. You talking about a sad sight. I would rather die trying than to see the people like the apathetic ones who find every reason not to get involved and not to speak up. And then have the audacity to tell others who care, be careful. So on that note, we're going to sign off. And I hope that these arrests are made here soon. And I got a little flyer here. There's a music concert fundraiser for Ryan's Light. You can call 551-0673. It's going to be held at the Hawaii Yacht Club. And you can call Anita Wagner for more information at 221-0916 or go to Ryan's, ryanslight.org, and you'll find the rest of the information. John Cruz, Henry Capono, Kamuela Kahana, and Manoa DNA, and a special performance by Tony Conjugation. Anyway, hope you can attend that, and that is told on the 23rd, so Hawaii Yacht Club. Anyway, thank you all for joining, and I'll keep you posted. Go to Carol Cox at carolcox.com is the email address, carolcox.com, and go to the website, and you can see the full story, and we've posted a lot of pictures of the interior of the house with the bullet holes, and not to excite you or but glorify violence, we need to do something. And that something is not sitting on our basses and doing nothing and floundering around. So let's get moving and show who the big fish are out here. Aloha.
Be all right with me. When I try to talk to you, babe, and to let you know just how I feel, you tell me if I don't like it, you know someone else will. Oh, but I looked out wise to you, babe, you're not the only bird in the sky. Don't ask me no questions now, baby. And I won't tell you no lie, because I like to feel good about me and lips close to mine. So I don't have to beg you to love me. I don't have to beg you all the time.
Thank you for tuning in to The Carol Cox Show, heard every Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on K108. Tune in again next time for The Carol Cox Show, right here at KWAI Honolulu.
We didn't. We've simply made...